Tell me something about San Patricio County.
Old San Patricio, they call it. And it is almost a, well, it is a very small community now. However, the McGowans settled it. They came over from Ireland, a party of them. And there was five girls, I believe, and a couple of brothers. And they built a home in old San Patricio, they called it. And that home is standing today and is being preserved as a museum. The town had become incorporated last year, and they're trying to establish another little community there. And I know these McGowan girls. I knew them. In fact, there's two left now.
How many were there?
There was there was four or five. I can't recall the older ones, but there is two now left.
Were they farmers?
They farmed in San Patricio, but they drifted in, and these girls came into the Sinton, and there was two of them that married Sinton men, and one of the men is still living today. I guess he's almost 80 years old, but there's this girl, one of the McCormick girls or ladies now. She must be 90 years old, and she is still living, and a younger sister, which would be 75. And
so they were.
They went to school. They had a seminary or an academy, I think, long years ago at old San Patricio. And there was two Doherty sisters, Miss Lida and Miss Maine. And Miss Lida became county superintendent of Deep County. And for quite a while. And Miss Maine, the caller, she finally came to Beeville and taught school. In fact, Mr. Kirkpatrick went to school for Miss Maine, Doherty. And they were, you know, loving ladies.
So that's why San Patricio has their St. Patrick's.
That's why they have each year the St. Patrick's barbecue and dinner and dance, and they all get together. And there's some more old settlers over there, I believe the old Dohertys, and I don't believe there's any of the Dohertys that are there now, but they're trying to, you know, reorganize and get it, the community, better established.
Well, is there anything else you can think about South Texas? Was the land inexpensive?
The land is very high now.
But it used to be inexpensive.
It was bought real cheap, but some of those farms are really valuable now, and people have really done well. They have built brick homes, modern homes on some of them, and have nice places for their tenants to live, and are really thriving. But of course, when it don't rain, they don't thrive.
Yeah, did y'all have very many droughts or anything?
Well,
that were
some years were pretty drastic. I can't recall the what years it was, but
Did you talk about what?
But South Texas to me is it's a wonderful place, and we can't understand why in former years you never heard of a tornado alert. In recent years, though, I suppose you know that we have quite a few alerts now.
They didn't ever have that many tornadoes?
No. You used to never hear of a tornado. You did, you didn't know anything about it till it struck, but there was very few. And now, every year, we have quite a few alerts and tornadoes. And I often wonder why that is coming now. I don't know whether it's the elements, the astronauts have something to do with it, you know. People think so. I don't know just what it is. But anyway, there's a lot of nice towns in South Texas and a lot of lovely people.
Okay. Well, that's about it. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Can you
when did you first move to South Texas?
In 1912, we moved to a town of Normanna, which was a thriving little town. They have stores and churches, and the San Antonio and Aransas Pass Railroad ran through there, which was established in 1894 or before. And it was not far from Beeville, only 10 miles from Beeville, and people commuted back and forth until it just dwindled. And now the population isn't very much, but they have a condenser plant of gasoline out east of Normanna. And in 1915, we moved to Beeville, and it was a nice town, I should say, over 13,000. And it has grown now until it is quite a little city. And they have the Bee County Junior College located there, which has several thousand students from everywhere. And
well, in 1915, do you remember the conflict between Mexico and United States?
Yes, that was just a short time before we moved to Beeville. Everyone had arms, and the women and children went to the schoolhouse to stay that night. But
was this the night that you were telling me about when they were going to burn?
They were supposed to burn a bridge between Beeville and Normanna. The railroad bridge, also the bridge over the creek. There's a creek running through there. And but it never materialized. And long in the early morning hours, everyone went home. And they didn't get very far away from the border.
What was South Texas like? Was it like
it was
densely populated, or was
yes,
it?
There was the communities around Beeville, mm-hmm. and farming, and there was at that time there was quite a few orange orchards. But in latter years, they were not replanted, and the drought, they had a drought, and then Beeville kept growing, and it has several, you know, communities around it.
You said something about the that pasture company, what's the name of it? That established Taft? What was the name of that?
Coleman Pasture Company, but that was before we moved to Sinton. Now, we moved to Sinton in 1918. Mm-hmm. And the town of Taft was located 8 miles from Sinton. But it was not as old a town as Sinton. Sinton was the county seat and still is. And
do you know anything about how Sinton had established or anything?
The Coleman, there was quite a few men from the north came down and bought up several thousand acres of land, which really extended on down to Gregory, Texas, which is, let's see, about 10 miles from Taft, I guess. And Mr. Green was one of them, Joseph Green. And he built a mansion on the bay, and he laid the streets off, or had the streets laid off in Taft, and one of the main streets today is Green Avenue, and they have it has grown until they have a lovely rest home and a hospital there, and it is wonderful farming land around there, very good. Sometimes they'd make a bale to the acre of cotton, and then corn and other products that they raise there. And it is growing. But we lived in Sinton, see, and Sinton was better farming land than Taft, out west of town and south of town. And there was several little towns out of Sinton. West Sinton, Sodville, and St. Paul was a little town.
Did they do much ranching?
Not too much ranching, nor cattle raising.
It's mostly farming.
Mostly farming, uh-huh, yeah. However, a lot of people had some fine stock, but not like they did in Bee County.
Mm-hmm. You said something about the hurricane.
In 1919, Corpus Christi in September had a bad hurricane, and we were living in Beeville at that time, and Mr. Kirkpatrick was working for the Jackson Motor Company, which he worked over 45 years there, and when the hurricane struck, my mother and father were visiting us, and Sunday morning was the last train out of Corpus, and it grew worse and worse, and there was hundreds of bodies washed across the bay.
People
from Corpus to Portland. North Beach was completely wiped out.
People were leaving the towns?
Yeah,
the leaving was coming.
Corpus Christi by the hundreds. And
this is after the hurricane or before it was coming?
During the hurricane. They had to get out. And the last train out of Corpus was on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Kirkpatrick came up to Beeville and spent the day with us. And it was terrible. Well, Monday morning they ran a special train from Kennedy to Corpus, tried to get to Corpus. The causeway at that time was just the railroad crossing was just a crossing on, you know, not very good. And it was washed away. They couldn't get to Corpus. But they got to Portland and they worked all day and up into as long as they could see, burying these bodies. And that train also backed up and went to Rockport to take food for people down there, which was bad, especially milk for the babies.
Did they have like water and stuff?
No, they didn't have very much drinking water, and the homes were washed away. And in fact, North Beach has never been like it was in 1919.
Was that the same one that destroyed Rivera? Is that the same hurricane? Or do you know? Not sure. Okay. Was there much immigration from different countries of people coming in South Texas?
Well, there wasn't too many people. Normanna was a town that had Norwegians. They had come over from Norway. But Beeville did not have very many foreigners. Mm-hmm. And up until later years, there was not very much of an influx of immigrants coming in.
Did you have a lot of your Mexican labor and stuff?
Well, the most of the laborers were the old timers that had lived there a long time. Mm-hmm. And the same way about Beeville and Sinton. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like that Sinton was very progressive, and in later years they have built a new courthouse and lots of improvements in the streets and a lot of new additions to the city. You know, Sinton has been plagued by storms and high water. Mm-hmm. And today they are trying to find some means of getting the water to where it does not come into the town. They have been flooded several times just recently. And people are moving away, but some of them will still stand and stay there. But they're voting bonds to try, and they have architects and people coming in to wonder how they can drain that water. There's a little creek, Chilkepin Creek, runs through, and they want to dredge that and fix it and drain all the drainage ditches. There's several drainage ditches around in hopes that there will never be another flood.
What was politics like in South Texas? Were there a lot of big bosses and stuff, you know?
Well, they weren't like they are today. Mm-hmm. It seemed like people were more harmonious then than they are now. And there's more parties now than there were then. But, of course, some of these elections were heated, all right. But today it's worse.
Tell me, was there a lot of, did the towns grow up, like from the 1915s and stuff, and the 1920s to the 1930s, were there, was the population increased, or
yes,
was, or
yes,
did more move out?
Well, a lot of people, like I said, moved away from Laurel Mountain. Beeville being 10 miles away, the people got to where they went to Beeville to do the shopping. Therefore, people moved away, and some of the businesses closed because there wasn't enough trade. Mm-hmm.
What was Sinton? You lived in Sinton since when?
Since 1918.
What was it like during like the 1930s?
Well, the Depression, see, was somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of people out of work. Mm-hmm. And salaries were cut drastically. People worked almost for nothing.
Mm. What was the Depression like?
Well, during the Depression, things were rationed. Mm-hmm. And you could only get so much of different things. And the poor people were helped, though. Mm-hmm. And the ones that had positions, they managed to take care of themselves, you know, even though it was meager. Mm-hmm. And it finally got better. And today, though, there's, as you know, there's welfare and there's all of these, the Red Cross help people, the Salvation Army help people. And there's so many of these organizations where you can be helped with, you know, and get money to establish your homes back, like the OPO. Mm-hmm.
The welfare agencies and stuff.
Well, there's several there. Mm-hmm. And they even.
Well, getting back to the 1900s, 1915s and stuff, were there still land promoters? Or was most of the area pretty well?
Yeah, the area was pretty well taken, and I don't remember any big land promoters that came to Sinton. Mr. Dave Odom was a big landowner in Sinton, and today his heirs, of course, own several thousand acres of land in Sinton.
Now, was he the one that you said came from Ireland? Or that, you were telling me another time about
Normanna, where the Danes, the Norwegians came from. Norway.
Oh, okay.
Norway.
Okay.
No, Mr. Odom, I think, was born around Sinton. I'm not sure where he was born, but he was a big landowner. Mm-hmm. And there were several, but Sinton has a good many large farms in the community around.
Are they old families, or has
some of the old families have stayed there, and the older ones have passed on, and the younger ones have taken possession and still own some of the farms. However, some of them are being sold to others. But all in all, it's a lot of farming around Sinton. Mm-hmm. And that, too. Mr. Kirkpatrick's brother had lived in Taft for a number of years, and he had a Piggly Wiggly store there. And he saw it grow too. But in later years, his health came down. He sold it to come on that.
Did you know anybody that worked on the railroads or anything?
Well, my father was station agent.
Where
at? At
Normanna.
Uh-huh, for a number of years.
What year was this?
About 1912 to 19 and 20.
Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of action going on around
there? A lot of action. There was four passenger trains a day.
Where did they run to?
They ran from San Antonio to Kennedy, from Kennedy to Corpus. And there was two passenger trains each way. And that made four passenger trains a day during 1912 until, I don't know the exact date, freight trains.
What did they, mostly crops and stuff?
No, they carried lumber, furniture, hardware, rock, granite, and they didn't only run in the daytime. There was passenger trains at night, freight trains at night. And it was thriving times when all those trains were running, but they claimed that the bus was what caused the passenger trains to stop running, that people began riding buses.
Did they just kind of use the trains like we would use a car today, just to go very long ways, to get on that train to town?
Yes, sir. You could get on that train in the afternoons and go to Corpus and stay till 8 or 9 o'clock at night and come home and get there and back around midnight. And people use the trains all the time. And people moved on the freight trains. Then you'd see freight cars come by loaded with household goods, cows, horses, pigs, chickens.
About everything.
Yes, in those days.
Was there a lot of, how many railroads runs through Sin? The one from?
The San Antonio and Aransas Pass Railroad. The St. Louis, Brownsville, and Mexico, the B&M, they call it. They ran through there. Excuse me, and the B&M came all the way from St. Louis to the valley, and people rode those trains, and they'd have excursions and bring people down from the north to the valley.
What kind of excursions?
Well, they'd run full train. They'd have a train load of people from the north coming down to South Texas, on to Brownsville and down in there to settle.
Oh, this was like promoting.
Yes, promoters.
You know some of the, would you remember any of the promoters?
Not on the B&M. Mm-hmm. Because they brought Mennonite people.
What kind?
Mennonites.
What are those?
Well, they're a religious sect that I just don't know much about their belief.
Uh-huh.
But even they would bring train loads of the Mennonites, say to the valley, and to buy land. And some of them located in the valley. Some didn't like it, went back home to Minnesota and all up in the Indiana, those places up there.
That's interesting. Do you know anything about the Driscoll Ranch, or was that near Sinton? Did that?
No, the Driscoll Ranch is out from Driscoll, Texas, which is below Robstown, and not far from Kingsville. And I knew Mrs. Clara Driscoll Severe, and I had met her, and she promoted the town of Driscoll, and it was a very rich oil town, but not a very large place. And to this day, I imagine there's just quite a few of her wells that are still, but she has passed on. And
was she the wife of the original owner, or was she the the Driscoll Ranch, or was she
Clara Driscoll was her name, and then Mr. Driscoll died, and the way I was done, and she married Mr. Severe, S-E-V-I-E-R, Clara Driscoll Severe. That's what she went by her name. And she moved to Corpus and had a penthouse on top of the old Plaza Hotel.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Now, let's see, Plaza Hotel. No, it was the Driscoll Hotel.
Was that named after him?
Yes, the Driscoll Hotel in Corpus. You know, they demolished it not too long ago and had this
new hotel. Do you know anything about the Taft Ranch?
Well, not too much. Only they raised a lot of cotton and grain down there, and this company finally sold the land to individual people, farmers, and there's quite a few farmers that have been there a long time, but they finally sold it down, and Taft is today is a nice little town, but it never has gotten to be very big. They have new additions there, and like I said, the hospital and a lovely rest home and thing. But
well, you said a lot of northerners or easterners came down and invested in this land.
Well, this Coleman Fulton Pasture Company was northern people. I don't know just where they came from, because you see, that was before we moved down there.
How long were your parents living down here? You moved down here in 1912?
And then we lived in Sinton for over 50 years. And when the Model T, Mr. Kirkpatrick worked for the Jackson Motor Company for over 45 years. And that was the beginning of the Model T.
When did the Model T come out?
Well, before, seemed to me like it was 1909. I'm not positive.
Did it catch on fast down here? Did a lot of people buy it?
Oh, yes, yeah. That's all people had for a while. And the roads, these blackland farmers, when it rained, you couldn't hardly get out. They had a terrible time getting out of the rain. Well, these Model T's were lightweight and helped them, you know. But
how much did one sell for? Do you remember? I imagine it'd be a lot less expensive than that.
Well, I'd say $500. I'm not sure just how much they did sell for.
Were people kind of leery of them though when they first came out, or did?
Well, you know, they didn't have any. You just used a pedal for the gears. And people liked them, and they sold a lot of them until they started making other makes of cars. Mm-hmm. And of course, as I can't recall the names of some of the cars that came out soon after the Ford. There was a Studebaker, and that had a, you shift the gears from the outside, kind of outside of the car. And then there was the Maxwell, that was an old make of car.
Did do you think also damaged the train? Did people take their cars as much as they took buses?
Yes, they have to bring the train. They had cars
and they used the cars
to go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the roads weren't good then. Now there was no paved roads. They finally got to where they put Okaloosa and gravel and stuff. But some of the roads were impassable when it rained.
When did they really start paving a lot of the roads, do you know?
I just don't remember. I was thinking about the main street in Beeville, but I don't think that was paved in 1918.
Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of the highways around here weren't even.
No, no, they were impassable. You couldn't. They were bad. Mm-hmm. And and people used wagons, mules, and horses. Mm-hmm. The Taft Ranch and in Sinton, mm-hmm. out west Sinton, they had a community, the Sodville community, and that was black land. Mm-hmm. So they had to come in, with their horses, a mule team, mainly. But they didn't come in very often either. Of course, they had to come in for food and supplies. Mm-hmm. But they finally got the roads shelled and graded and caliched and things until there's a lot of good roads in Bee County and mm-hmm. San Patricia County. Mm-hmm. In fact, Texas has really gone to town in paving highways and byways. Mm-hmm.
Were there, was Texas a lot of brushland and stuff? Did it have a lot of cloud? You always hear of it having so many rattlesnakes and stuff.
Uh-huh. There was a lot of brushland before the Taft country was settled. Uh-huh. And also out around Texas.